This is a podcast from SPH Radio.
Hello and welcome to The Green Wire, the podcast that plugs you into the latest in sustainability tech, with me, Rachel Kelly. Now, we've all seen the movies, iRobot, The Matrix, AI, even I Am Mother, the story of man versus machine. But look around you, chances are you'll see a number of devices that could perhaps be classed as robots or include artificial intelligence technology. Now, as organizations look to improve productivity, many are turning to cobots to do so. But the question is, what role do these cobots or robots play in our journey towards a more sustainable way of working? Well, we're joined now by James McHugh, Regional Director Asia Pacific at Universal Robots, to find out. James, thank you so much for joining us today.
Real pleasure, Rachel. Happy to be here.
Okay, James, so let's get started. Perhaps you can tell us, what exactly is it that Universal Robots does?
A very good question. Universal Robots is the world's leading manufacturer and of collaborative robotic arms. Their robots are designed to work with humans, not in place of. I guess the organization started with a philosophy of empowering people. Okay. And I guess that is now kind of shifting a trajectory towards a world where people don't work like robots, they work with robots. And I guess everything that we do at UR is about creating an ecosystem where humans and robots can work together to be more productive, to be safe, and to let robots do the dull, the dusty, the dangerous, things that don't require human ingenuity, finesse, and skill. And therefore, we get better production outcomes, and we actually see that skilled humans are showing these cobots how to do the job.
And I love that you call them cobots as well, because there have been so many discussions and articles about man versus machine, what this means for the workforce, what it means for certain industries as well, whether or not we'll see jobs being replaced by robots. But as you rightly termed it, cobots, it's really working together to solve issues, whether it's repetitive tasks, so that skilled manpower can continue to upgrade and we can continue to see improvements in processes, in productivity, in the way that things are done. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. You know, the best possible outcome is that you've got a skilled operator who's now showing the robot how to do that job, and showing multiple robots how to do that job, which leads to higher production output. And we've actually got people. I was reading a case story last week, and we were talking about a gentleman in Japan who used to manage a curry restaurant. That's his experience with, no experience with robotics, and now he's actually automating a, very reasonably sized work cell of CNC machines. Based on his knowledge of how to operate the machines, he's been able to teach the robot how to feed them and do so very efficiently. And I think there's lots and lots of stories out there about people who would not consider themselves robotic engineers in any way, really being able to unleash the power of our cobot.
That's so interesting. So maybe you can give us an example of some of the cobots you have at Universal Robots and how exactly they work.
Yeah, look, I mean, they're basically a six-axis, miniature human arm, and they're probably closer to, a human arm in terms of their ability to lift. They come in four sizes, from 3 kilo through to 16 kilo, and, up to about 1.4 metres in reach. So we don't make very large cobots. They really are designed to simulate, a single human arm. Mm-hmm. And they're really used to making. Once you determine if you think of we make the arm and our ecosystem provides the hands, if you like, depending on what you want to do with the robot, they can screw drive, they can have cameras mounted to them, which will trigger, in the automotive industry, they're looking at gaps between panels. In farming, they're looking at how to optimize pollination and minimize damage to fruit, therefore maximizing yield.
Okay. They, so they we're do, gonna So we're going to get into sustainability and farming in a minute, but I'm just wondering, could you share with us a little bit more about the cost of these cobots? How much are they?
Typically, they, you know, to get set up is somewhere between, depending on size of cobot, between 20,000 euro and, you know, maybe 100,000 euro, depending on complexity. But again, robots only need to be trained once, and they can be, you know, enhanced. They can be redeployed. So through the total cost of ownership, you're getting a depreciation benefit, and you're also getting substantial productivity gains.
Well, I was just going to say that when you're looking at productivity and balancing out the cost as well, and it's in terms of how you're changing business models, isn't it, for people who are looking to implement cobots to help improve systems processes as well. So you were going to talk a little bit about cobots, and you were just getting into how cobots are being used in farming. Maybe we can talk about that and the role that perhaps these cobots can play in sustainable farming. You mentioned pollination there. Share more with us on that.
There's an incredibly interesting program going on in Singapore, actually, with SIBRO. And, you know, obviously Singapore has really been historically reliant on migrant labour to work in factories and to work in you know, these farms, which are actually, you know, commercial operations many times indoors. The challenge with pollination is each kind of flower can be at a different stage. They're very delicate. They worked with partners here in Mentis, I think was the partner in Singapore, to actually implement a vision system that's able to look at the stage of the flower's development. Then that can, you know, using AI, which I think is incredibly exciting, determine at what speed, if any, the fan is activated on the end of the robot arm to conduct pollination. And the reason this is so critical and that they've decided to automate it is, A, there's a shortage of labour in Singapore, but B, if you don't get it right and the fan is too fast, you can damage the flower, that damages the plant, and ultimately reduces the yield of the product.
You're listening to The Green Wire, the podcast that plugs you into the latest in sustainability tech. In this episode, we're speaking with James McHugh, Regional Director Asia Pacific at Universal Robots, about the role robots, or so-called cobots, play in sustainable urban farming. And this is such an important conversation as well that we're having. I mean, look at what's transpired over the course of the last 2 years with COVID-19, especially here in Singapore. We're seeing an increasing push towards local production of food here. We've got a number of goals under the Singapore Green Plan as well. And this is something that we're seeing take place across the globe when it comes to urban farming solutions. And I'm interested because I think you've got cobots deployed in an urban strawberry farm.
Being able to help effectively pollinate and therefore increase yield and therefore increase local production, I think is fantastic. Because anyone knows the price of strawberries in Singapore, we could do with a lot more supply.
So talk to us about how much this improves productivity. We spoke earlier about cost versus productivity gains. Can you give us some idea of perhaps the example from the strawberry farm, and then we can talk about wider trends as well?
In terms of dollars, I haven't got a quantification on it. But
improved yield, perhaps.
Yeah, we're told by SIBRO that yield has increased and also wastage has reduced quite significantly. And that's not an unusual outcome for implementation of a cobot in any kind of industrial or commercial application. In the automotive industry, we refer to it as the cost of poor quality. If a phone or a television is dropped in production, expensive. Mm. Well, similarly, if human labour damages plants through the pollination process or through the harvesting process, then that's lost production and cost of poor quality. So it doesn't surprise me that they're seeing improved yield and reduced waste. The other thing that they were pretty pleased about was because there's less errors, less waste, and therefore the carbon footprint is also reduced, which is a pretty neat outcome in our books.
all important points there when it comes to sustainability and farming. And so we've spoken about, you know, here in Singapore, we've got the Singapore Green Plan, and the governments across the globe are looking at more sustainable farming initiatives. We've got conversations increasing on a daily basis in the run-up to COP26 taking place in November. So talk to us then, James, about perhaps existing government initiatives that can help businesses perhaps adopt automation in the agriculture landscape as well?
Yeah, good question. The Agri-Food Cluster Fund or Transformation Fund in Singapore, they've set aside some 60 million Singapore dollars for this cluster as part of the 2021 budget. And they hope to replace the Agricultural Productivity Fund in 2020 by assisting the agri-food industry in improving productivity and fulfilling Singapore's goal of producing 30% of its nutritional needs through local farms by 2030. So there is a mechanism for farmers to be able to apply for funding through that that transformation fund.
Okay, that's interesting. So they can go and check that out. And I want to find out, James, perhaps your personal experience working at Universal Robots, what do you think have been some of the key aha moments for you? Because, you know, this conversation surrounding the implementation of robots, artificial intelligence within numerous industries has been ongoing for some time now. What are your thoughts on what's happening within the industry and perhaps what's been the biggest perception change for you?
Look, I think the pandemic in a strange way has had a silver lining for many countries. Depending on the system of government, some refer to reshoring, making sure that you have sovereign capability. In Singapore, similarly, making sure that it can be sustainable from a food perspective, from a labour perspective, and still keep employment levels relatively high and unemployment levels relatively low. So what we are experiencing as an organisation, if you are, is that cobots can make previously what would be considered high cost or high labour cost countries competitive. And I think that's the key takeaway, is that you don't need to offshore your production to a low labour cost country, because most low labour cost countries are actually further down the automation path than higher cost countries. And so when you get down to it, if you've got a stable power supply and good automation, then you can produce, and smart people from a tradespeople perspective or factory people's perspective, who can show cobots how to do the dull, the dangerous, the mundane, and the repetitive, then there's no reason that we can't be doing welding, assembly, screwdriving, polishing, sanding, pollination, harvesting, in vertical farms in Singapore, because they have so little space. And even looking at containment fish farms. So I think cobots, people are looking at collaborative robotics, particularly our arms, and going, well, we can actually build things here in Singapore or in Sydney or in Bangkok at the same price that we could have imported it from China or India. And I think that's really quite transformational in terms of a shift politically, that countries want to be able to not rely on purely buying in everything that they need to consume. And I think it's great from a job perspective, because what we see is that these talented factory workers go from being a machine operators to robotic cell managers. And that's attracting people back into manufacturing, whether it's electronics or even agriculture. And I think that's incredible, to be attracting the next wave of smart people coming through the tech schools and universities.
You've been listening to The Green Wire with me, Rachel Kelly, and we've been speaking to James McHugh, Regional Director, Asia Pacific at Universal Robots.
The Green Wire is a production of SPH Radio. It's hosted and produced by Rachel Kelly from Money FM 89.3. You can also find us on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcast, and streaming on Google Home. And if you have feedback for us, send it to sphradio@sph.com.sg.